Hello and welcome to the Game of the Year episode for the Game Train podcast. I'm Callan and joining me, as always, is Carl Smith.
Hello, he's Callan Davison if he's going to be throwing around second names.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. That's all right. That's, I just want people to know. We got to get real here.
That's all right. So, so this is our big Game of the Year episode. Pretty much we're going to do this. We have chosen a heap of categories.
More than we wanted,
ranging from best art through to best soundtrack to worst boss fight, etc. We've got a couple of nominations for each category.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll let you know what we've chosen in each one. And I think our opinions are both quite different how we go through this as well.
Yeah, I think they might be. I'm excited to hear what all of yours are with all these.
Yeah, exactly. And also, finishing off from all them is going to be our what we think is the Game of the Year. Now, this is our opinion. You know, people out there are going to have different opinions to what we think.
Yep, and they're all wrong.
You're wrong, to my opinion, but anyway. Before we get stuck into anything, we're going to go through our nominations for the actual Game of the Year first.
Yes, of course, just to kick it all off.
Yep. So we've got about 4 to 5 items per category here, but yeah, just for the Game of the Year one, we've put down Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yep, yep.
Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Destiny 2.
That's right. Wow, that is a brilliant list. What a bloody year.
Exactly, but we'll get to the Game of the Year later. What we're going to go into first, because we've had a couple of weeks break here from our general episodes, thought we'd have a bit of a chat on what we've been doing.
Yes, 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 let's do that. All right.
Man, so what have you been doing?
I've been doing a lot. Well, you know, I got into Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on the Switch, and that's been a lot of fun. And I guess the main thing we've been doing recently is PUBG.
Oh, yep.
Which is funny. I remember you calling me like half a year ago or more going, "Hey, man, you got to get this game. It's on PC. It's called PUBG. You know, there's a lot of buzz. We have to get on and play it." And I was like, "Yeah, nah. Not really into PC stuff. I don't have a mic. I never play online. I'll miss it. It'll just be another thing."
Yep.
Next minute, it's everywhere on the news.
Well, my issue was I've actually got it on the PC, and I'm like, "All right, PUBG, let's do this." And I jump into the game, but my computer is so poor these days.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It is so bad that it was like one frame, you know, at a time. Yep. And then, you know, you parachute in, you land. I had no idea when I landed. I'm standing there, and then next second I just get shot. And I didn't even see what shot me, or it was just the noise, and then said, "You're dead." And I'm like, "Oh, that was cool. All right, well, I guess I can't play this."
Neither of us had really played it, except for Callan's stuttering intro on the computer.
Yes.
So we both kind of jumped in this week. And I have really enjoyed my time there. I would have liked a lot more, but unpredictably, my girlfriend saw me play it and asked for a turn, and that was kind of the last time I saw my Xbox.
Well, for those people that haven't heard of what PUBG is, or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, it is a King of the Kill game where you pretty much have to be the last person standing at the end. You're dropped, 100 of you are dropped onto an island, Hunger Games style. You have to forage for weapons and then kill each other.
Yeah, and then they make you sort of do this in a timely manner by zeroing in on you with sort of a killer force field that starts from, you know, dozens of kilometers wide to smaller and smaller until it's about 2 meters wide and there's only 3 of you in this tiny little random spot on the map. And that's how they kind of force all the players together, so you can start off hiding and it's pretty easy to get around and be safe, and then things start to get a little bit more panicky when you're forced to all run in the same direction and you have to make sure you have armor or guns, or, you know, you can choose to either just run in there with a motorbike or a buggy and shoot around with a machine gun, or you can snipe from a distance in the shadows, and you can play it on your own, every man for himself, or you can play it in teams of 2 or teams of 4. And those are playstyles. So if you pick teams of 2, you only fight other teams of 2. And if you pick teams of 4, you're fighting 25 other teams of 4.
Yep. It's a really simple concept executed really well.
Yeah, it's just so simple. It's just right down to the gameplay core. And, I mean, it is admittedly buggy as hell. It is not the prettiest thing to look at. But it's some of the best fun I've had all year.
I know. Like, just the sort of, like, tension the game builds.
It's like nothing else. It's like a horror game in broad daylight with a bunch of dweeb-looking weirdos.
Like, the funniest bit is when you're just about to land. Like, it's a bit in my first couple of games when I was just getting used to it. It's like, yeah, I'll just land here. This looks pretty safe. And then you look around and you see all these people landing around. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yes. And when you first land, you feel like the greenest guy ever. And you're like, everyone must be just amazing. It takes a little while for you to finally learn that half these people are just like bumbling idiots just like you. And once you figure that, when you try and shoot someone and you're like, no, they're going to kill me. And you're like, wait a minute. I've been reloading for the last 2 minutes and this person still hasn't got me. He's just as bad as I am.
Well, on my first proper game of landing and actually surviving for a while, I landed like right next to a guy and I was panicking because I didn't even know the controls on the Xbox. I was like, what am I doing? And somehow got into the nearest house, ran over an item so I could pick it up. Yep, cool. Picked up like a crowbar. The guy followed me into the house. I just turned around and just hit him a couple of times with it, and he died. I was like, yeah, first kill.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was right into it.
That's a good first kill.
Yes.
Man, and my first two games, I mean, that's another thing with this. It's very fun to jump in with someone who's had at least, like, you know, 10 minutes experience, because my first two games, I just got annihilated by the ring. I was exploring away and going, so how does this ring thing work? Hey, why am I blinking? Why is everything blue dead? I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, I got it. I got to run to the ring. And then same thing just happened again because it's all written there, but it's just very unclear and you're panicking and all kinds of things. The menu system is a bit shonky. But it's really, really, really fun. And there is nothing quite like it on consoles. I mean, there is Fortnite, which has a similar mode, and now Dying Light is also doing a Battle Royale mode. I'm not quite sure how theirs is
PUBG, like, we've been having lots of fun as just all laughter the whole time.
Oh, man, it really is. And it's just a lot of panic and yelling at your friends, like, get in the car. Like, no, I don't want to get in the car. And like, all right, screw you, I'm driving away. Wait, no, don't drive away.
And there's a guy. Where? There's a guy.
It is interesting. It is broken. Like, I don't know. It's hard to either recommend waiting till, you know, it's a bit more stable if you're into that kind of thing, or if you want to jump in and be part of the conversation, you know. It's hard to say.
They've been slowly rolling out servers as well. So originally we were on the American server, then the Asian server. Now we're on the Oceanic server. So, yep. Which is good. So our lag's improved at least.
And it hadn't even been a week and there's already like, you know, a 4.7 gig update. So it seems like they're going to be rolling out updates, you know, as you go. Obviously, it's a early access game, so that is the idea. But it's nice to see that immediate support. So I do think things are going to start getting better a lot quicker. But, you know, just forewarning, it is buggy. It is super laggy. You know, it's a janky game, but it's part of its charm. You go in knowing that it is early access and keep in mind that the same stuff is happening to all the other players, so it's kind of part of the, you know, challenge and like, you're just part of getting through that on console with everyone else. But if you do want to wait and have a more polished experience, then yeah, I do recommend maybe giving it 6 months or something and jumping in afterwards with some friends, and it'll probably be a lot more polished experience then.
And yeah, you know, feel free to add us and have a game with us if you want.
Yes. Yeah, yep. I'm the lyrical with a space.
And I'm your face, spelled YOURFASE.
With no space.
With no space. Thank you.
Nice. Oh, you're so welcome. Anytime,
I know,
man.
You're always helping. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying the game. And I can see why it's been so popular this year. Like, you can just see straight away why it is.
Yes, I finally get it. And as soon as we're done recording, we're both going to go play some PUBG. Yeah.
We're doing it earlier as well. Like, we should be recording. Let's have another game. And one more. And it's gone on for four games. And it's like,
yeah, and they're not short games. I'm like, oh, yeah, one more.
Yep.
Oh, but yeah, good times. Shall we do it, Callan? Shall we jump in finally?
Oh, well, I was just going to go through something quickly, which I know you kind of didn't want to go through.
Oh, I couldn't even begin to throw it together, and I looked at everything and went, well, no thanks.
Being the Game of the Year episode, I sort of fought back on every game that I rolled credits on this year. So that doesn't mean 100%ing. It just means completing the campaign or whatever and having those credits roll at the end.
Yeah.
Because I say to people, oh, I finished this, and they go, but did you get every moon? Well, no, I didn't get every 999 moon in the game. So I say I rolled credits.
Yes,
rolled credits. All right, so these are the games I rolled credits on this year. Are you ready?
Okay. All right. Ready?
Okay, big long go. List incoming and go. All right, The Last Guardian, Dying Light, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Final Fantasy 15, even though I did most of it last year, but I rolled the credits this year, Until Dawn, Resident Evil 7, Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, Uncharted 4, Uncharted Lost Legacy.
That was fun.
The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Zelda Breath of the Wild, Horizon Zero Dawn, Life is Strange. That's all five episodes of the original.
Yeah.
Mario Odyssey, ARMS, Pokken Tournament DX, Destiny 2, Wolfenstein ARMS. New Order, Wolfenstein The Old Blood, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Injustice 2, Mortal Kombat X, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, Rime, Metroid Samus Returns, Kingdom Hearts. Now, I finished Kingdom Hearts over a decade ago, but I went and did it again. Because, well, yeah. Why not? I had a spare 40 hours.
Nice.
Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories, Shadow of Mordor, and Prey.
And Prey.
Yes.
Wait, did you mention Nier?
Oh, Nier, of course, but...
You wrote credit. You should say that like three times.
And Nier Automata. God, that name.
Yeah, but I just feel like you should say it maybe two more times.
No.
33 games.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of games, mate.
And then...
too many games.
How many I've played this year? You probably double that number, maybe?
It's probably more than double, because...
Yeah.
There was a lot of jumping in and going like, no way, and jumping back out.
Yep. All right.
Let's not keep them waiting anymore. Let's jump in, finally. This is it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do it.
Okay.
Game Train's Game of the Year ceremony. Right. Here it is. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, well, we're just going to kick off with all our categories and our nominees and so on and so forth. And let's see what happens. We're going to start with the best indie game of 2017. All right, the nominees are The Long Dark, Cuphead, Golf Story, and SteamWorld Dig 2. What did you get, Callan?
I went for Cuphead. That game was friggin' awesome. Golf Story was amazing too, but Cuphead just pips it. It was just so different.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. Yep.
Mine was Golf Story. That game just... And these were all awesome. All four of these, I just was like blown away by. Every single one of them. They all could have been winners, but Golf Story just captured me with its charm and its story and... I don't know, it made me look at golf clubs and go like, maybe I want to play golf. It was just really cool, very charming. But yeah, cool. All right, let's go, let's move.
All right, best art style.
Oh, all right.
All right, and the nominees are Zelda Breath of the Wild, Cuphead, Persona 5, and Gravity Rush. Carl, what did you go with?
I went with Cuphead. Come on.
Yeah, so did I. You can't beat that sort of... That 1920s, 1930s cartoon.
It was maybe one of the most phenomenal looking games I have seen in years and years. I was so impressed from the moment that game was previewed, and then playing it in person was like this whole other thing. It was just glorious. It was a beautiful, beautiful game. Well, that wasn't hard for us. Next one, which is a bit harder, the best story or narrative. And our nominees are Persona 5, Assassin's Creed Origins, Horizon Zero Dawn, Prey, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, and Nier Automata. Automata. Nier Automata. Standing next to a tomato. I will never get that name.
Yep.
What did you get, Callan?
I went Persona 5. I love Persona 5's narrative. This winding, twisting narrative that even 90 to 100 hours in, it's still referencing characters and things that happened earlier in the game. And just the way it's tying everything together, it is just, yeah, my favorite story this year. I love it. It's great. I still haven't finished it, but everything I've done it so far, which is the majority of the game, I've loved.
Oh, magic. Well, that makes me excited to get through more of that. Mine was Hellblade. Some of you guys might remember me talking about that game. It was just an experience I have never felt before, ever. I left that game feeling like I understood more about the actual real world I lived in and the people in it, and nothing's ever made me feel quite like that before. The performances were amazing. The way they intertwined it with, like, you know, old Norse mythology and history and, like, anxiety and mental illness. It was amazing.
All right, we've got the best game from an Aussie developer.
Ah, yes.
So, being an Australian podcast, we thought, well, you know, we'll tip our hats to the Aussie developers out there.
That's right, we've got to represent.
That's right, and the nominations are Golf Story, Ashes Cricket 2017, AFL Evolution, and Yonder the Cloudcatcher Chronicles.
It's got to be pretty obvious by now, but I went Golf Story. You know, that what I forgot to mention earlier, you know, when you zoom out of that and the map is the Australian map, but all in this beautiful pixel art, what a beautiful nod to the Australian, you know, developers that made that. I just, real cool, cheeky little extra thing. What did you go with?
Yeah, I went Golf Story as well.
Yeah, nice.
You thought I was going to go cricket, didn't you?
I didn't think you were going to go cricket. I knew you were going to go cricket. I was so sure. Best RPG. Here we go. Our nominees are Persona 5, Golf Story, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and South Park, A Fractured But Whole.
Easy, Persona 5. Like, yeah. You know, all four are great nominees here.
Yes.
But Persona 5 just beats them all. Now, Xenoblade for me is a close second because I'm thoroughly enjoying that game.
Yeah.
But Persona 5, what it brings to the table, the narrative, the music, the characters in the game, the combat, like the way they've done turn-based combat in it is just awesome.
Yep.
Yep, it just nails it for me.
Yep. Mine was Persona 5. It was, that game is like a breath of fresh air for JRPGs. It's like, I'm so glad that JRPGs are relevant again. I was, you know, starting to feel like, because I missed them so much. They were like my favorite category of gaming for the longest time. And then it was just starting to kind of disappear and become something completely different. Like, you know, Final Fantasy kept changing each time. And then it was like, well, what is a JRPG anymore? Or, you know.
Yep.
Then Persona came back and you're like, oh, well, they can still work. You just needed some geniuses to come up with how. And Persona is doing it so well. It's awesome. Yep.
All right. Best multiplayer experience.
Boom.
So the nominations are PUBG, Destiny 2, For Honor, Splatoon 2. And I've got PUBG here twice for some reason.
So, all right. Nice.
What did you go with, mate?
I had to go with Destiny 2. just because that game did what it always does. I mean, it's, you know, it's got its faults, but it brought me and all of my friends together for the longest time and having the sort of best time. And jumping into the raid with like six people, that everyone in that party was someone that I knew, was something I haven't done in nearly 10 years. And it was just, it was frustrating and hilarious. And there were just things we were saying in there that we'll remember for a long time. Some things I can't mention here, but just hilarious. And it was just awesome being there with my friends and my brother's friends. And it was a lot of fun and learning and teaching all at the same time. Yeah, Destiny 2.
Cool. Mine was PUBG. That's probably why I had it.
Probably, twice. Yeah. Is it the first one or the second one?
As I said earlier in the podcast, I'm really enjoying this game and I'm having a lot of fun with it. So
yeah, yep. Awesome. I might have picked the same thing. My girlfriend has seriously hijacked that thing, and I can't bring myself to taking it away because watching her play is just like almost as fun as playing myself. It's hilarious. It's just seeing her get kills and both of us sort of jumping up and down, and it's like, yeah. It's really, really interesting, but I haven't actually jumped on as much as I would have hoped. Okay, so next one, best soundtrack. This one's been quite good this year. Our nominees are Nier Automata. Why do I end up with this one each time?
I don't know. It's funny. I'm smiling every time okay. I have to say it.
Okay. Nier Automata. Yeah. Cuphead. Destiny 2. Persona 5. What did you pick?
I went Persona 5 again. I love the music in this game. As I said just before, it's you know, just the chilled, quiet music in the cafe to the cool battle music. Yeah,
and the funky menu and
the funky
it is very cool.
It just really gelled with me, the music. That was something that I don't know if throughout the game sort of I got more and more attached to it as I went through it. And then, you know, I'd walk back in the cafe and it'd be all chill after like doing a dungeon. And you just, I don't know, it was just really resonated with me.
Nice. Mine would have to be Cuphead. That soundtrack, the old, like really old 1920s sort of.
The big band. Jazzy.
And the songs. Like, remember I told you there's that bit where I met that devil with the dice before you go into the next world, and then you're supposed to just walk in, say hello, and walk out. But I stood there for ages, for like 5 minutes, just listening, because there was this awesome song in the background with these hilarious lyrics. It was really cool. And the starting, as soon as you first turn on Cuphead, it like captures that vibe that they're going for immediately with the music. Special shout out that we didn't even mention is Super Mario Odyssey. There's some great tracks in that, which I don't even know why we didn't put it in there. And there's that one particular song, you know, in the middle of the game, which is just brilliant.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, that's a special shout out for this year. That was quite good as well.
Okay. Best console that released this year. And the nominees are Xbox One X, SNES Classic Mini, 2DS XL. Oh yeah, and of course, I suppose Switch. I know. I was just waiting for you to just go.
Oh no! Have had me, but I just knew there's no way anyone could forget the Switch.
Yep. So,
this category is just an excuse to say how awesome is the Switch. So,
I know how good is the Switch.
The best console that came out this year, Sean, is the Switch.
Is the Switch by far, like the 2DSX?
Oh, it was a very, very close second.
No, it didn't. But no, the Switch is, man, what?
Yeah.
What a year from Nintendo to release that with the quality of the games.
Oh man, they have got this whole thing worked out. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they climbed out of whatever the Wii U was. But man, the Switch is just as mind-blowing as the concept was. You know, when you hear about a thing and then it comes out and it's never as good. Like every, like, that, what's his name? Peter Molyneux promise he's ever made. Do you know?
Oh my gosh. Man, that guy would just send hype trains down and I'd board him every time. Like, I was on that train
and
every time. Well, every time, and I never learned.
Sounded like just one of those. Absolutely 100%. And it came out and it lived to, like, remember when you first saw the trailer and you're like, that looked like Skyrim. It couldn't have been, though. But it looked like Skyrim. But wouldn't that be cool? But it wasn't. And then it was. And it was like, they made a thing that can just run Skyrim.
I wasn't that hyped for the Switch when I first was announced. Yeah, I was like, oh, what are you doing, Nintendo? What are you doing now?
Is it because you didn't believe it, or is it because you're just not into fun? I'm just asking.
Hey, hang on a second. You must have had doubts. You must have had doubts too after the Wii U.
Well, I actually bought the Wii U, but anyway, I
yeah.
The only doubt I had was that it couldn't be real. I saw it and went,
no. My doubt was Nintendo going to crash and burn.
I thought maybe the battery life. You know.
No, I thought not having the strength of the other consoles is going to hurt them again. Oh
yeah, okay. Yeah, but man,
and I just didn't like the handheld thing at first. That portability
just changed the way I play games. I play it on the couch in front of the TV. You know, with the TV off. Sometimes, yep. just cause I'm like, yeah, I want to lie down. I chose Switch. What did you choose, Kellen? Cool, thanks. All right, so next is Best New IP. And the nominees are Horizon Zero Dawn, Cuphead, For Honor, Mario Rabbids. What did you pick?
I went Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice. Because
as soon as I finished the game, I wanted to know where the story was going to go next.
Yep. Nice. And
I think that makes a great, you know, new IP, because you want more from that world, from that game.
Yep.
How about you?
I went something a little bit crazy. Horizon Zero Dawn. It was such a good game. So good. I was excited for it before it came out, and then I really loved Aloy, and I loved all the enemies. Like, every single fight was a bit different. They all handled different, all your weapons and the way that, you know, you throw different bombs and elements, and then, I don't know, it just, at first it seemed almost a bit weird, like fighting giant robots with a bow and arrow, but as soon as you start playing it, and wow, it looked incredible.
I'm having a migraine at the moment, but I'm going to keep pushing on.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good.
I know, right? Yep.
Wow.
My glassy eyes have sort of started. If anyone that's listening has had a migraine, I think you know what's happening to me right now. So I'll keep pushing on, though.
Wow, okay, thank you. That's very, very gracious of you. Hellblade, Kellen's sacrifice.
Right. Where are we? All right, so next up is the biggest disappointment.
Ah, yes. Whoa, that is somewhere else on my list. Let me scroll down here. Here it is. Yep.
Okay, so the nominations are Yooka-Laylee, Mass Effect Andromeda, AFL Evolution, Carl's Game Playing Ability, and Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Nice. I'm glad you had high hopes for it. That really has good resonance for me. Yours isn't in here because I didn't have any hopes.
So what was your biggest disappointment?
Oh, it's, you know, this is one of the hardest ones to choose because, I mean, besides AFL Evolution, because I don't really play AFL games, but every one of those games on that list were games that I was so hyped and so pleasingly excited for, you know, like a childish excitement for each of those games. It is a very hard one, but I have to say Mass Effect Andromeda. That game, when, you know, just shout out to our media man, Mr. Genghis Tuan. This guy, he does all our camera work and our editing and stuff and all that kind of behind the scenes things when we go out and film things. But he doesn't play a lot of games, but Mass Effect is like the game. I mean, he has the socks, he has a jacket, he has the stickers. And I just remember when it came out and we were all like, yeah, it's all right, I guess. And I was like, I think it's pretty bad. Yeah, it's bad. And like, no, you know, the more you play it, you get. I'm like, no, it's bad. My character is dog poo ugly. The map is awful. The gunplay is horrible. The voice acting, the facial animations. And then all of us just slowly came to the conclusion, and kind of like the whole world, and we all just went, this is a steaming pile of doo-doo. And then the entire company that made it were like, oh, we're going to demote all of you to the B. It was just awful. What a bad, bad experience that was from what it came from. And I mean, if they just made that out of thin air, sweet, awesome. But the first three that came before it left too much expectation. I'm sorry. What did you get, Kellen?
I went AFL Evolution.
Nice.
Yeah, look, I don't expect much from AFL games because they just don't have the backing like FIFA, etc. does.
Yeah.
But what you do expect is commentary on the right players. Oh, you expect controls to be all right. The marking in that game is horrible. Just little things like that. Just, as I said, I don't expect much, but it's really disappointing when they can't even just get the little things right.
Damn, like the basics of the sport.
Just the basic things that should be there. I'm not expecting 4K graphics. I'm not expecting a robust career mode. I am expecting characters' names to be right and the commentary to be at least interesting instead of flat pan and boring and dull.
Yeah.
I expect to be able to do one of the fundamental things in AFL, which is catch the ball with ease rather than going, oh, where's the circle supposed to be? What? Wait, no. Oh, gosh, I don't know. You know?
Yep. It's just,
and then when you're in a game and you're trying to play as one player and then you get subbed off and then you want to skip to when you get put back on the field, but it just skips to the end of the quarter instead, or you have to sit there and watch the game play out in front of you.
Yep.
Now, that has been fixed now, but this is how the game released, so this is why I'm still having a crack at it.
That's true. Yep.
But just things like that. Like, it, yeah. As I said, I don't expect much, but when the little things are broken, yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, I know they're a small team, but it just feels like if you can't make AFL run and feel like AFL, it's almost at a point where it's like, well, maybe don't release it just now.
Like, who's testing this? Like,
probably people surely, like me.
As soon as I started playing, I could tell these things were wrong. I didn't need, like, 10 hours to work this stuff out. I'm like, oh, well, they've called that character wrong. Wow, that's the most boring commentary ever. Whoa, how do I mark a ball? How do I mark a ball? How do I mark a ball?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's move on.
Best World to Explore.
Mm-hmm.
Our nominees are Zelda Breath of the Wild, Horizon Zero Dawn, Nier Automata, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Destiny 2. What did you pick?
Yeah, I went Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
That world where you just sort of just put out there, free to go wherever you want, in whatever order you want. Just run at the last boss if you want. There is just so much choice and there is just so much exploration out there.
Yeah, it has to be Zelda. It's like, and when they added that Hero's Path thing, that was like a game changer for open worlds as well, showing you where you could go back and realize like, wow, I walked past that section like 10 times and I had no idea there was a whole thing like down below this or up above that section or like, there's a whole cave system here or just like full buildings and those horse places that you just didn't see it. And you're like, oh, what? And it's, I really like how it didn't show you where to go, like, you know, like old Ubisoft games, but you had to like zoom in and place your own markers and your own personal places of interest, and you created the places to go. Like, it really felt like a personal experience, and that was so awesome and part of the discovery. So yeah, Zelda as well.
All right, on to the coolest character.
Nice.
Or best character, if you want to call that. All right, then the nominees are Joker from Persona 5.
Yeah.
Bayek from Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yep.
Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yep.
2B from Nier Automata.
Yep.
And Cade 6 from Destiny 2.
Nice. All right. Well, if it's best character, I have to go Bayek. Easily.
Well,
absolutely easily. Coolest. No problem at all with that. Coolest, I think, was Cade 6. He created the whole new persona of Destiny 2. He saved that game's whole vibe from everything that it was in part 1. He kind of, I don't know, he was just suave, all those trailers and talking to him, and he just seems like the coolest dude. So if it was coolest, it was that, but if it was best, it had to be Bayek. His accent, the way he fights for his son and his wife, and he's such a badass, and he has a freaking beard and dreadies. What did you go?
For best character, I went Aloy.
Nice.
I feel like, you know, I don't know, just her growth was pretty good throughout the game. I like, you know, just where she sort of came from, trying to find out about her origin and all things like that. Coolest character, 2B was pretty cool.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. Her sort of deadpan, don't care, but still super effective vibe. It was very awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, it's coolest character.
Funnest boss fight. All right. Okay. Now this one, the nominees are Donkey Kong Rabbid from Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, Redmaw from Horizon Zero Dawn, Divine Beast Va-Medo, which is the big flying one in Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Bowser from Super Mario Odyssey. What did you pick?
I went Redmaw.
Yep.
You know, I set out all these traps. Well, there's a video of it on our Facebook page.
Yes, there is.
Actually,
I remember that one.
of that fight. It was fun. And that's right. I killed him as he was running at me, and I had no health left.
Awesome. Always.
And it just made it very, very cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the funnest one for me.
Nice. Well, mine, which you've told me you don't think is a boss, but is the Divine Beast Va-Medo, one of the four beasts that they tell you to defeat. Don't know how else to describe a boss. Anyway, I got up to this.
Not a boss. All the bosses in have big energy bars. This thing, you just hit points on it.
Anyway, I guess we each get our turn. I'll just continue with mine here. When you first start Zelda Breath of the Wild, you're given the task to defeat Ganon and to defeat the four divine beasts that are bothering four different places. And my favorite one was defeating the beast that was flying. It was super fun. You had this guy up there who was distracting him.
So that was your favorite objective in a game?
It was my favorite boss. My favorite divine beast to defeat was probably Va-Medo. Yeah. I guess definitions aside, differentiating there from myself and Callan, but...
So, in a game when it says defeat 10 guards, you go, ooh, that's a fun boss, defeating those 10 guards.
No, when it says defeat a divine beast, and there's only four of them, yeah, probably bosses. Okay,
defeat the four guards.
All right, someone who's listening to this, anybody, write in if you think the divine beast in Zelda is a boss or not. We don't really get it's all right. We'll let the people decide.
The
things inside
the divine beast I count as a boss, but the actual beast outside it, when you're running around it and shooting arrows at it, no. And
anyone who's listening to this, just because it's you, it's me versus Callan. One says yes, one says no. It's obviously an undying argument that'll go till the end of time. So we just need one third party. Anyone, if more than one person answers, we'll count the average. But anyone, just write and just tell me if you think one of the four divine beasts that you have to defeat as a boss, or if it's a house. But anyway, what's the next one?
It's a large objective. Right. So the next one is the worst boss fight. So the divine beast isn't in here because it's not a boss. As well as, you know what, I'd put it in there just to stick it up you.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Okay, right. So the worst boss fight nominees are, and somehow Cuphead gets two of these. The frogs from Cuphead.
Yep.
What would you call it? The amusement park boss? The one with the dog balloon?
Yes. I wish we knew the names. We should have really fun, but I guess I know. You'll know. People will know what we mean when we say the dog balloons.
Ganon, or Calamity Ganon from The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Okay, that was definitely a boss, that one.
It was definitely a boss, actually.
Not just a floating...
No, he has a life bar and all that sort of thing.
All right.
So, yep. The High Road from Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, well, that's not really a boss now, is it?
It's not, but again, it's your nomination. You're just throwing things in here now.
Yeah, but we both agreed on this one. I think this felt like a boss, don't you?
Yes, and the Divine Beast didn't. It just felt like an objective.
Oh, you're entertaining. That's fun.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I chose the High Road because to me, when I played Crash Bandicoot, that was the moment that sort of was like this one battle that I had to fight. And to me, it just felt there was bosses in it, but nothing was as challenging and frustrating and just awful as the High Road. It was, it's not, obviously it's not a boss, but to me it was. It was this one obstacle between me and the rest of the game, almost like a guardian blocking half the enjoyment. I had to defeat it, and it was just near impossible. Extremely frustrating. But yeah, if I had to pick my worst boss fight, I'd have to say the High Road.
Okay, mine would have to be Calamity Ganon.
Nice.
Close your ears.
All right, I will close my ears. I'll actually take my earphones off.
And anyone else close their ears. It's not really a spoiler, but this is why.
All right, I'm going to announce on the earphone when I put these back in. I'll give you a minute. Go.
I don't need a minute.
I'll give you 30 seconds. Go. Okay.
All right. If you don't want anything to know about The Last Boss of Zelda, switch off now for 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Pretty much, the last boss was way too easy. I face-rolled it. I did it on first attempt, hardly getting hit. The build-up for that boss was immense throughout the whole game, like talking about Calamity Ganon over and over again. And just the ease I beat him with was such a disappointment that I felt there was no challenge in it. And I thought that was the worst boss fight.
All right, good sir. I'm about to put my earphones in.
Yep. Now he's coming back. He's coming back.
Hello, is it safe in here?
Yep. Yep, hello.
Oh, good. You've unleashed your... I hope our listeners are back.
Yes, and I hope they are back too.
I hope not too much was spoiled.
Now, let's go back. Let's go on to the next one. Sorry, let's not go back. Let's go on to the next one.
All right. Next one is Best Dressed.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We have Mario for the first time because he could be. He had a whole bunch of outfits. 2B from Nier Automata. Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, Bayek from Assassin's Creed Origins, and Pyra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. What did you pick?
Pyra, Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Huh. And what stylings of her outfit was quite appealing to you?
Look, I think she is a very well-designed character, very proportional character.
Yes.
Yeah, very likable character in a lot of ways. So, yeah.
The outfit, though?
The outfit suits the character.
I suppose. Okay, yeah.
Fits very well.
Okay. Nice. For similar reasons, I chose 2B from Nier Automata. You know, that character may or may not be the wallpaper on my phone, PS4, Xbox, and monitor 1 and monitor 2. It's a very good battle station character robot outfit, of course. Very practical, good for sword fights.
And very popular among the cosplayers as well.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, they just did very well. Very good, talented cosplayers with lots of talent. Very talenting. Okay.
Good.
Yep.
All right.
Next. Cool.
Yes. All right. Best experience in a game. So we talked about the best multiplayer experience before. That was more like best multiplayer games. This is sort of like now the best experience, like a little snippet of a game that you thought, wow, you know, I love this right now, this little piece of this game.
Yep.
So the nominees are Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
Hellblade.
Yep.
PUBG.
Yep.
And Destiny 2.
Do you want to just run through the nominees of your actual experiences with them? Just in like one word?
Oh, or? I thought you'd just select one and talk about your experience on why you chose that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn.
So you, Carl, yes.
Yes,
you.
Oh, me. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I did want to be clear. I'll just run through it quickly. I have to say my nominees was Zelda Leaving the Great Plateau for the first time, PUBG, my first kill, Destiny 2, The Raid, and Hellblade, the sound design and the new level of understanding of people. And I have to say it was Leaving the Great Plateau for the first time in Zelda Breath of the Wild because it was just incredible. Once you actually comprehend the freedom you're about to have, this kind of rush of excitement comes over you that's quite rare, not since like, you know, Oblivion, Morrowind and Skyrim style things, or like, you know, Grand Theft Auto 3. I just haven't felt that kind of feeling in a long time, and it was like, oh man, I kind of get what this is now that I've kind of experienced the Great Plateau for a while, and now that I've got this sail, I'm leaving it, and there's all these mountains and these canyons and things I can see in the distance, and oh, it's on now. So yeah, that was mine. And yours?
All right. Mine was also... Oh, wait, sorry. I should say what my experiences were in those games, shouldn't I?
Yes, yeah, just slam through.
Yeah, yeah, cool. In Zelda, it was working out how the game works, like how you could chop down trees, set things on fire, set the grass on fire, use the updraft from the grass to fly into the air, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Hellblade, I didn't play.
Oh, damn, you have to play that.
PUBG, those tense moments when you're in a house and someone else is in the same house as you.
Yes.
And Destiny 2, I'd say doing, not the raid, but like, just like strikes with like you and Tuan was pretty fun.
Oh, yes. Yep. Nice. Yep.
And, and playing through the campaign actually with you and Tuan was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun actually.
Mine was Zelda. I like just all the physics of it when you could, you know, you get the magnet power and then you suddenly realize, oh wow, I can lift these things out of the water and make bridges with these things and
yeah,
just stuff like that. It was just so much fun.
It was, and like pulling out those buried treasures either out of the yep. sea or buried in the ground, you're like, ah, this yep. won't work, and then it does, and you're like, what? This is amazing.
Yep.
Yep. Cool. Is that it? Are we
there? That's it. We're up to the big one. We're up to the main one now.
Wow. Here we are.
All right.
Oh, man. Will you do the honors?
I thought it was your turn.
Oh, is it? Well.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Game Train's Game of the Year. Our nominees, as we mentioned earlier, we'll just run through them one more time. Super Mario Odyssey, Persona 5, Zelda Breath of the Wild, Horizon Zero Dawn, Assassin's Creed Origins, Destiny 2. All right. So, what was your game of the year, Kellen?
Okay, I was quite conflicted about this.
Yes. As was I.
I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I have gone Persona 5.
Persona 5. Wow, nice. Well done.
Now, I haven't finished this game like I have the others, or I haven't finished Assassin's Creed either, but I felt like I'm near enough to the end that I can make the call on it.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have finished it, but I just didn't. It's something that I've got to actually sit down and roll the credits on. Someone might go, well, if it's your game of the year, why didn't you finish it? Well, it's a massive game. I'm over 100 hours into it.
I think no one will say that to you. You've done more than enough, and playing half a game and having an amazing experience is enough for someone to say it's the game of the year.
Zelda was awesome. Like, everything about Zelda I loved, except for the story.
Oh, sorry. We should mention that Wolfenstein 2 is not in this list, only because neither of us have played more than, like, 5 hours of it.
Yeah, that's right. I've played 20 minutes of it, which I started today, funnily enough.
So it's not because we've overlooked it. It's because it just didn't happen for us this year, unfortunately. And we both can't wait to get into it and finish that game. But unfortunately, we couldn't put it in this list. I just thought we should mention that because it does look incredible. Sorry.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, yeah, Zelda didn't get it win it, in my opinion. And this is just my opinion, that I felt the story wasn't that great.
Yeah.
I felt Ganon had no real presence in that game.
Yeah.
The villain.
Yeah, that's true.
I felt that the voice acting of Zelda was horrible.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
I didn't like that. I would have just preferred text, as it's always been in Zelda games.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as Xenoblade, but it wasn't good at all.
So it was just those little things. And then I sat there thinking about Persona 5, and I'm like, is it in the contention? Because technically it released last year in Japan.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, we're not Japanese, so I think that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. But in the end, Persona 5 won out. It wins because of just the narrative that twists and turns through that game, and it's just such a well-written story, I feel.
Nice.
And I've just enjoyed all 100 hours of that game so far.
Nice. Nice. Wow. How about you? Game of the year. Well, mine, I had a long think about this one, there's a few strong contestants there, but I had to go Zelda Breath of the Wild in the end. That game, like, I did seriously think about Mario Odyssey because that was just intense fun. Persona, I really am enjoying, but I have to say one of its big downfalls for me was the 20-hour tutorial. Zelda, as soon as I got into that, and, you know, like you were saying with the physics and stuff and just figuring that game out, and I got these, like, feelings of Snake Eater, you know, when you're out and it's cold or it's a different thing and you're like, oh, wait, I have a potion for that, or oh, I've got a specific outfit for that. And then when you figure out these different things, like, that you can do with the physics and building bridges or climbing or flying, there's, like, so many different ways and everyone does everything differently, and you can just get lost in it for hours, or you can just be out on the road on a road trip or something and just pull the switch out and go, like, oh, I'm just going to run around on Zelda for a bit and do some random stuff out in this incredible world. It is one of the most beautifully designed worlds I've ever had the pleasure of being in. It felt amazing. The story wasn't very captivating, but luckily it wasn't what was selling the game to me or to anyone, like, very luckily. And it's never really been about the story, which is lucky. Like, I went into Persona 5 saying, I hope this has a good story. But I never went into Zelda saying, I hope this has a good story. I just said, I hope this is as fun as the other Zeldas. And it was, and then some. Yeah, I love it. It was and still is just such a great experience. Super fun, really good humor. Yeah. Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Well, there we go, guys. So Persona 5 and Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Game Train's Games of the Year.
Yeah, well, wow. Two hosts, two differing opinions, really.
Yeah, of course, and like any Game of the Year and any review you read anywhere on the net or on magazines, these are just individual people's opinions. You know, no one's trying to tell you that you're wrong or trying to say that they're the be-all and end-all in the market and what's right and wrong. So these are just two extra ones and the reasons behind it, I hope. I'd like to know what you guys think and what you're, you know, what you agree with, what you disagree with. Tell us, shut us down, yeah, or enlighten us.
In any of the categories, yeah, let us know. Like,
yeah, tell us some, like,
disagree with us.
Things we blindly omitted, you know, just said like, wow, how can you guys do like best dressed without, you know, the rabbit in Princess Peach's outfit or something, whatever. I didn't have a lot of time to think about that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, the Luigi was dressed better as the rabbit.
Yes.
Okay.
Good times. All right.
All right. Well, I guess we're kind of getting near the end of the show because we've just done our main bit, but
yep.
As always, we like to conclude shows with hype and lame trains, but this year we thought we'd do something a little different.
Well, yeah.
This year, this episode, because this is our first Game of the Year episode, so
yay. Yeah, well, this year it is a year.
So we thought we'd do it a bit different. We thought we'd, for starters, our hype and lame train to do with the entire year.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, our lame train, the lamest thing from this year.
Yeah.
And then we've added a new one, the love train, which is something that we've loved the most from this year.
Yep.
And we've got our 2018 hype train, what we are hyped for the most coming up in 2018.
Yes.
And then we thought, well, why don't we open it up to the people to write in and tell us what they think their lame hype and love trains are.
Yep, to all of you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to read some of them out now.
Rock and roll. All right. You want to start us off, Mr. Davison?
Sure. All right. Let's start off with Reef Atkin, who asked the most questions this year, so he gets the award for most questions asked throughout the year.
Well done, Reef, and thank you for your epic support.
Well done, Reef. I think Paul and Loki were the runners up there.
Yes, they might have been. Reef has he made a shirt, which was just next level, so that was pretty cool.
Yep, and yeah, he wrote in, you know, saying what his trains are. All right, so he kicks it off with his lame train. He says, although it's not a game directly, but gaming related, which is cool.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not really a boss, but it's still okay.
No, no. Our lame trains has always been about something we haven't liked.
That's true.
So, to do with gaming.
Yeah.
Except when I had a whinge one day about escalators.
That's true.
Anyway, he said, although it's not a game directly, but gaming related, it is my lack of time to play games. Which is fair enough.
Yes.
His love train, he says, would definitely be Breath of the Wild. Hands down, the best game he has played since Final Fantasy VII.
Amen, Reef. Nice.
And his hype train would have to be... for his 2018 hype train is Spider-Man, which is releasing on PS4 next year.
Yes.
Then he's got a few more here. He lists them off. The remake of Final Fantasy VII, The Last of Us 2,
yep.
Death Stranding, and oh so many games to come next year. Well, I think out of all of them, the only guarantee coming out is Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's...
The other three, I don't think we'll see until 2019.
I think the other three might end up being his 2017 or 2018 lame train.
But, yeah, no, I agree with him. Like, they're great games to be hyped about. All right, Carl, shoot us off one.
All right. Wow, I don't know if that sounds like the best sentence you've ever said, but I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to go with Sean. Let's go here. Sean Fullard. He writes in and says, my two cents. His lame train is... Callan for not shutting up about how good the Switch will be or is, which is pretty hilarious. So, well done, Callan. You're famous.
Yep. Yep.
Sorry, Sean, but if I was close enough for you to hear me, I would have not shut up either. The thing is so
and
cool.
And I still think your casino winnings should have gone into a Switch.
Oh. not one to tell him where to spend his money, but... Anyone with any extra money should have a Switch. And if you have a bit more money, you should have two Switches. Okay, his love train is, despite its issues... I can't read. I can't say it. Mass Effect Andromeda. Ooh, that was hard. Sunk so many hours into that epic space romp. So, wait, I mean,
shouldn't his lame and love train then be swapped then?
Yeah. I think. I mean, he must be Australian. That's what they say, you know? Where
no, he's from New Zealand.
Oh, well, then he's not down under, so I don't know what to say about that.
I don't know.
He does have a hype train, though. His hype train's got a few on there. He says, hype train for new IP Anthem had me super excited watching the trailer. Amen, Sean. I'm 100% with you right there. And for existing franchise, Kingdom Hearts 3, for obvious reasons. Thanks for the entertainment this year, lads. Thank you, Sean, for listening. And yes, those are obvious reasons.
Yes. All right. Josh Enner writes in, his lame train. Persona 5 ended. I wish it went forever.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, that's big reps for a game to, you know, saying it's lame that it ended. Yep, agree.
Josh, I know what that feeling's like. Yet,
but I'm going to feel that feeling when I do roll those credits, I reckon.
Damn.
His love train is how many unique titles came out this year? Oh, and he said here's some examples like Hellblade, Cuphead, and Pyre, which was that, you know, that RPG
Out? That was like that basketball mix with Bastion type thing.
Yeah, that was unique. It was really, really cool. He said there was so many things to try and it ruled. Yeah, really, yeah. Really agree with you there. It was just a lot of variety this year.
Nice.
And his hype train is more Death Stranding info. Oh my god.
Ha. Huh. Yep.
Yeah. Again, I agree with you, Josh. Like, I saw that trailer. I hadn't watched any of the Death Stranding trailers until the one at the Game Awards that they showed the other day, and I was like, "What is going on here? Kojima, please tell us what's happening."
Oh man. It looks really exciting.
I really can't wait to see gameplay of that.
Yeah, same. Maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if he never, ever releases gameplay, and you just find out when you buy the game. You know how he's crazy with his, like, advertisements and campaigns and stuff? I don't know, I feel like that could be a Kojima move, and it's just like, what are you doing? I can't wait to find out what you're doing. Like, minute, the game comes out this week, and it's like, I don't know what it is yet. It's like, yeah, but you'll buy it.
Yep, yep.
Imagine the confidence of that move. I'd buy the hell out of that.
Wow, yeah.
And then, you know, maybe he's so sure that it's such a great experience that he's like, I don't need to tell you. Your friends will tell you.
It would be a very ballsy move.
It could be.
That's all Josh's, so thanks, Josh, for writing in.
Nice work. Thank you, Josh, for listening and supporting us this year. I'm going to go with our own Mr. Genghis Tuan over here, because he's the voiceless character of our Game Train team. He's the behind-the-scenes man. We asked him to send a few things in here so you could, you know, hear a bit of his opinion. Now he says, my lame train, Mass Effect Andromeda. Read it easily there, and that was extremely predictable. I'm so sorry. My condolences, Tuan. My hype train, he sent his love train a little bit later, so I have to scroll down on that one. His hype train is PAX Oz, and his...
No, that's his love train.
Nope, reading it right here. My hype train is PAX Oz, Nintendo Switch purchase. This must be his love train, but he's named it...
his love train.
All right, so he says, my hype train, PAX Oz, Nintendo Switch purchase, all happened on same weekend. I finally caved into getting a Switch, so in love, with some love heart eyes. And he says, and I haven't made much progress in Odyssey or own Zelda yet, but I think he's very excited for those. So that must have been his love. He's just called it his hype. Fair enough. And then he sent us his actual hype. And he says, PAX, Game Train at overseas conventions, and NBA 2K19 on Switch that doesn't keep crashing like 2K18. And he says, oh, that shadow puppet game we saw at PAX on Switch, which he meant Projection, which is a new indie game that's coming out on Switch. So that's Genghis Tuan's input. Thank you, Genghis Tuan.
He's confident of Game Train traveling overseas next year.
Oh, yeah, we are. Aren't you? We're going to go next level, man.
Yeah, I know.
Don't be throwing darts at us now. This is game training.
I'm not. I'm just saying he's very confident.
Oh, yeah. He's not confident. He's just full of complete 100% no doubt knowledge.
Yep.
See you in Gamescom, Germany.
All right. Next one is from Ben Schuster.
Oh, yes. Ben.
And his lame train is waiting all year to play ukulele on Switch, only to have it be $60 for an 8-month late digital only release that you can buy on PS4, Xbox One for half the price.
Oh, ouch. Yeah. Ooh, I really feel that one. Wow. His hype train should be like that he waited for that and now doesn't have to play it because he's found out it was really crap.
Whoa. All right, his love train. What Nintendo has done with the Switch. Several killer games, lots of first-party and third-party support, and a true home console that you can take on the go. Couldn't have had a better start. Yep. Sums it up pretty easy right there.
Yeah, he does, Sean.
No, that's Ben.
I know.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. There
you are.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, write into Sean and tell him how great the Switch is.
I bet Sean has a new lame train now. Yeah. Sean, we're only doing this because we know how awesome the Switch is.
Yep.
Dude, if you like Mass Effect Andromeda, you are going to love the Switch.
Yeah, of course. Like, anyway, let's keep going on with Ben's
Who have I got next? Train. I've got
Dylan. No, wait, I haven't said Ben's hype train.
Oh, yes, no,
yep.
Keep going.
Yep, cool, all right. Last episode of the year, guys, bear with us. His hype train is Monster Hunter World.
Ooh.
He says, one of my favorite multiplayer games and already looking like it's revitalizing the series. Hopefully allows a lot more people to get involved in Monster Hunter as it seems a bit more accessible than previous titles. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've never played a Monster Hunter title before. I've only played a 10-minute demo of Monster Hunter World. So I'm pretty excited to jump in next year.
Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to see what it's all about. So yeah, thank you, Ben.
Nice one. Thanks, Ben. You're a legend. All right, I've got one here from Dylan Faith. Now, Dylan says, lame train, timed PC releases. Seriously? It's unfair to the community and damages the industry and has killed many a multiplayer game. I can't really comment too much because I don't really do multiplayer games on PC, which is a waste of my beautiful PC, so I really should remedy that. Love Train. Not sure how to say this one. Any help, Callan?
Ramu?
Ramu. I've played it 3 times now. And each time the credits roll, I love it more. Which is, interesting. I quickly typed it down and looked it up, and I saw some game about a robot vacuum. And I asked him, I said, as in the robot vacuum game? And he said to me, yes, the robot vacuum game. It's adorable and super feelsy. So I actually really want to try it now.
All right, well, what we'll do on our break over Christmas, I think we should both have a look at Ramu and... yeah, see what it's like.
Yeah, I'm going to jump on that just because of Dylan's love train. And this is the power of love, guys. Anyway, his hype train is, and here it is again, Death Stranding. But then he's got Detroit, Monster Hunter World, and God of War.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a Thank fair you.
Selection of hype. Thank you, Dylan.
Thanks for listening, man. Really appreciate that.
And like everyone saying hype for Death Stranding, I hope it comes out in 2018. I really do, because that would be really friggin' exciting if it did.
Yeah, I don't think it will, but it's a nice thing to hope for.
It would be a very nice thing to hope for.
All right, who have you got?
All right, next up I've got Andrew Natoli. He's from the Inconsolables podcast. I've had a listen to a few of their episodes.
That's another gaming podcast, right?
It is. And we met Andrew at PAX earlier this year.
Right.
Did you meet him?
I'm not quite sure I remember.
Yeah, it was just a quick hello that I had with him, but yeah.
I met
the other members of his podcast as well.
I have to say, that is an incredible podcast, a gaming podcast name. Brilliant. Yeah. Just brilliant. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, quite clever.
Well done.
All right. So, his land train of 2017. So, we said straight off the bat to all these people, you're not allowed to use loot boxes as your land train.
Yes, because this would be a very boring segment if we let people
If everyone said loot boxes, which we assume they would.
Yeah.
Because I know they were quite vocal about loot boxes on their podcast, and it was almost from them talking about it that much that I said no loot boxes in the lamb train.
Ah, yes.
So, Andrew writes, other than loot boxes...
Good, nice.
The hysteria and death threats over review scores that are slightly different than what certain portions of the gaming community want.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
And he also says he's got a second lamb train, the FCC repelling net neutrality.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how that's affecting Australia, but I guess whatever happens in the US bleeds over here.
The flow-on effect happens here too eventually.
Eventually, yeah. So that is pretty annoying. Hopefully that goes away as a really dumb idea soon.
Yes. His love train of 2017, the sheer amount of quality games we got this year, it's seriously been overwhelming and I missed a bunch, he said, which is true. Yep. 100% agree with you there, Andrew. Like we were just saying Wolfenstein, we missed that. Like that's a quality game. It's been getting nines everywhere.
And looks like one of the best games of the entire year. And we just completely missed it.
Yep. But there was a lot of quality this year. It was hard to have a crack at anything.
Yep.
Other than Andromeda. His hype train for 2018 is Monster Hunter World, to the point where other games cease to exist.
Wow, that's a lot of love. Okay, Monster Hunter World.
Thank you, Andrew. Like, I'm really curious about... I'm seeing all this hype for Monster Hunter here. And what makes this game so great. So I'm, looking forward to jumping in and seeing what this hype is about around this game.
All right. I think we got one more here. It's from Joel Rennie. And he is from Generosity, among many other things. We also met him at PAX Oz, and he was organizing all the gaming podcasting community to come together and do some live recording. He was doing some live things and competitions at panels, so he's quite involved in all that stuff. We'll have a little bit more of a word on Generosity in a minute, but he writes in saying, lame train... Okay, he says, okay, let's do this. Lame train. Platform exclusives as a sales model that have a PC release at a later date. Makes me mad, as I'd rather a keyboard and mouse as an option. So, he likes his keyboard and mouse freedom. Love train. He says, Breath of the Wild is absolutely incredible. I often drop off games before I finish them, but Breath of the Wild, I'm on my second playthrough. That is awesome. And if you knew how busy this guy was, you'd know how big a call that is. Hype train is in big, all caps, Sea of Thieves. And then he says, Yargerger, so effing excited. So that's a lot of hype, which is the end of these things. But I brings me to say that Joel Rennie from Generosity. That is actually our shout out for the week. We have one every episode, and this time we wanted to shout that one out because it's coming up soon. It'll be happening in January, in late January, during Australia Day actually. And it's now Generosity is the largest live streamed charity show in Australia and one of the biggest influencer gatherings in the country. It's both a charity event and a showcase of Australian talent. None of it would be possible without the hardworking individuals who give up their free time to perform, organize, and help out on the day. So, having said that, if you'd like to be a part of it, of Generosity number 4, which it is, in late January, like I said, just fill out the form on generosity.com.au, which is generosity.com.au. So yeah, that's our shout out of the week as well, tacked on. So thank you so much, everyone, for writing in all those things. That was really cool.
That now brings us right to the end of the episode of, and our last episode for the year.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. But wow. Before we go, we're going to do our own lame love and hype trains.
Of course, we don't get away from it.
That's right. True. That's right. So, Carl, shall we start with the lame train?
Let us start with the lame train.
All right.
All right, my lame train was, now bear with me, PAX Oz and Mario Odyssey and Assassin's Creed Origins and Wolfenstein 2 all on the same day. Yes. Yeah, that was my lame train. I wanted to give each and every one of those things 100% of my attention, and I just could not. And just to kind of tack on to that lame train is the repeat of the whole thing that looks like it's going to happen next year on March 20 to 23rd with Ni No Kuni, Far Cry 5, Sea of Thieves, A Way Out, and possibly God of War. That's my lame train.
Yep. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Stop it, guys.
Sorry?
Stop it, guys.
Yeah, stop it. Please stop announcing all your games on the same week.
Just read the news or something.
Just push them back a week or bring them back a week. And just keep them just that little separate from each other, please.
I don't know. 3 days? Is that weird?
Especially you, Ni No Kuni. Everyone else, like, A Way Out and Far Cry, that all got, you know, announced. And then you guys went, oh, yeah, we're going to move our game to that week, too. You already knew everyone else was there.
What about you giant companies? Think about us tiny podcasts that try and review a game every week.
It's not even that. It's the consumers. Like, you can't expect everyone to buy 4 games that week. Something's going to get missed out, and it could be your title. Why not go, oh, let's delay it for 1 extra week? No one's going to care about 1 extra week.
Yeah, who knows?
The only thing I can think of, if it's to do with their company's financial years, etc. And they're trying to get it out in a certain quarter to, you know, for numbers.
So what you're saying is, you're right up in there in my lame train. It sounds like
no, you I'm agreeing with your lame train.
That's what I mean. You're absolutely in there with me, like you are.
Yeah. But that's not my lame train.
No, it's. I mean, it sounds like I hit the nail on the head right there.
Oh yeah.
What is yours?
Okay, mine is, and this is still happening. Prices online compared to retail stores.
Yes.
So I can walk into a retail store here and pick up a new release for $60 to $80, depending on the title, while on the online stores, which has no packaging, and I'm downloading direct from like the Sony store or whatever, or the Microsoft store, or the Nintendo store, it doesn't matter, they're all friggin' do this, it's $100 on there.
Yeah.
Why am I paying so much extra money for this product? I like having my games as digital these days. I like being able to just easily access everything. I don't have a lot of room in my apartment to just keep boxes and boxes of games floating around. And sometimes I like to get a game at midnight to get a jump on, like doing a review, etc.
Yep.
Giving me that extra bit of time. It's just really frustrating that I have to make a choice of convenience or saving $30.
Yep.
And it's going to come down to saving that $30.
Yeah, sadly for me, it often comes down to convenience. Which sucks. I wish I could save the money too, but it's like, some of those, like especially on the Switch now.
I want all my Switch games to be digital. I like to take that everywhere. I don't like carting around a tiny, tiny little...
Yep.
Game cartridges. I just want to have my whole library on there as digital.
Yeah, especially after using it for a while. My biggest regret is buying, if I had to choose one, is Mario Kart. That is such a game that I just feel like playing when I feel like playing it. Yep. Randomly on the bus or with friends or like at a gathering or even at home. It's like, I'm a bit tired of wandering around Hyrule. I'd love to just do a few laps. Like, oh, no, I got to take the game out. Nah, it's fine. I'll just turn it off. I don't know.
Yep. Oh, well.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, on to the next one, which is our Love Train. Now, we are proud to announce the Love Train will be sticking around now for 2018.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So it will be like this. Lame Train is something that we have disliked over the week or two. While a Love Train is something that we've loved from that time. While a Hype Train is something we are looking forward to.
My Love Train has been the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yes.
It is just, that's it. Just the Nintendo, everything about it this year has been phenomenal. A+. What an experience. The games, the console, everything. I bought two docks. That's how much it was in my Love Train. For, like, you know, 7 feet apart. So, I really like it.
Cool.
That's mine. There's not much else to say.
All right. Well, I guess you copied my notes because mine is also the Switch.
Oh, yes. Oh, nice.
This just invigorated my love for gaming again. I'd been through a bit of a lull with gaming over the last few years beforehand.
Yep.
And I'd sort of, I don't know what the word is. I wouldn't say disenchanted with it, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I feel that starting this podcast and the Switch coming out, and that all happened around the same time, just sort of reinvigorated my sort of love for gaming, sort of got me back into it proper, you know? I went through early about all the games I'd finished this year. I've never done that before, that amount of titles in a year.
Yeah. I mean, you also started a podcast this year. And having said that, the Switch kind of gave us a purpose to even start this entire podcast because we're like, hey, there's some really, really big news we can start off here with.
Yeah, we sort of tipped our first episode around the release of the Switch and Horizon Zero Dawn. Actually, that happened too. Those two things released in the same friggin' week too.
Yeah, they did. Three things.
What?
Zelda.
Oh, you sort of count Zelda with the Switch though, don't you?
Well,
like, who bought a Switch on that first week without Zelda?
No one. Zelda outsold the Switch. Even the Switch version of Zelda outsold the Switch, which was really weird.
Mm. But yeah, no, it was definitely the Switch for the Love Train. And also this podcast itself from what it's grown into.
Yeah, it's been real nice. You guys might have seen, if you're clicking on it right now, that the thumbnail for this episode is all our pictures from all the episodes we did. If you have a closer look in there, I've also added just the picture without the episode name on it, so you guys can check it out, because we're pretty proud of this ourselves. The artwork has been a lot of fun, and just having fun with all the titles. So that's on our Facebook as our cover image. If you click on that, it'll zoom into the whole picture, and you can check out all that stuff. And that in itself has been a lot of fun, like just doing all these episodes and everything it takes to create it and the team. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Onto the Hype Train.
Hype Train.
Boom. The final Hype Train for the year. What you were looking forward to from 2018.
Four words, Callan. Four words.
Oh. Okay, wait for it. Mass Effect Andromeda 2.
Oh my god, you are copying my notes. You have to get out of my house, you are freaking me out. Spot on, mate. Besides Mass Effect Andromeda 2, which now have tattooed on my lower back with a love heart.
Which is not coming out next year.
Which is, let me just go on record 100% to say that is never, ever, ever coming out. Ever. Yeah. If that comes out, I quit Game Train. I say it right here. You're worried? Don't worry, Sean can fill my spot. No, the four words are Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
That's all. That's my hype.
I know, it's been your hype train a few times throughout the year, so yeah, you thought you'd... Did you think at the start of the year you'd be concluding the year of that as your hype train?
No, I didn't, and I'm really glad I did. I think it's the fourth or third time it's been my hype train. I'm very excited about this. If this game goes bad, it'll be exactly like what happened to Genghis Tuan with Mass Effect.
Yeah. We'll be sending you cowboy hats in the mail.
Man, this game. I guess it's my hype train and my worry train.
Yep.
But yeah, what's yours?
Mine is not Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's interesting.
Look, I am excited for it. Am I super hype about it? Yeah, but is it the thing I'm hyped about the most? No.
I mean, if we were talking about the things we're not hyped about the most, I had another 12 hours to talk about.
Yeah, this is true. Mine is Kingdom Hearts 3.
Nice. For obvious reasons, like this.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time. This year, I finished the first one again, as I said, and Chain of Memories, which I hadn't played before. And I plan on getting through number two and the mini sequels after that, bridging the gap from that into three.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm really looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3. It's been a long time in development, this game.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one too. I will be watching some lengthy YouTube videos instead for that one.
You're not going to play Kingdom Hearts 3?
Nah, no way. Oh, what? Play Kingdom Hearts 3? Yeah, hell yeah. I just mean as my catch-ups.
I was going to go, whoa, what is this? This isn't freaking the watch train, mate. You freaking get on board and you play that.
You wouldn't have to wave your authority stick around, Mr. Callant, for that one. I would be jumping in that completely. It is Disney and it is Final Fantasy. You don't really need to see anything else but that. I guess you're also with a worry train. Mine is Please Be Good, Red Dead Redemption. And yours is probably Please Come Out 2018 like you said you would.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Like,
I'm not 100% that game's coming.
I am. I can say 100? With confidence I've... No.
I'm not even 100% Red Dead's coming.
You can't be that with anything, though. Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't know.
You go into the year and you don't know what's going to get pushed back. Like, we all thought Red Dead was definitely coming out in 2017.
Yeah, I mean...
You should have had that game and finished it by now.
At least we have a season for Red Dead. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about Kingdom Hearts. I mean, yeah, we might see it. We've seen two trailers.
Yeah, I think enough's been shown that they can almost go, all right, guys, here's the date. Look, probably they'll just go, hey, we're going to release it on, I don't know, March 23, because no one else is releasing games that day.
Exactly. I hope they release Red Dead Redemption then too. Just move it over.
And God of War and everything else that they're releasing that week.
Perfect.
All right, guys. I think we'll wrap it up there.
I think so. That's one heck of an episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening all year, but especially thank you for sitting through this whole thing with us. I hope you've done it over several driving sessions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a long episode. Well, it's 1:40 in the morning where I am now as I'm wrapping this up.
Oh, wow. It's
Yeah, so I've gone through a migraine and I've passed the migraine now.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you for that. That should have been your lame train.
Yeah, no, the price difference still thing. Anyway, all right, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in January next year.
Yes, that's right. We'll be back at about January the 17th. So
that's right, and that episode is going to be a big preview of 2018. Everything that's coming out that year, what we're excited about, what we're maybe not so excited about, predictions for the year, all that sort of fun stuff.
Got some new segments to introduce.
That's right. We have new segments. One being the lame train.
Yes, with the love train.
Did I say the lame train?
Yeah, but you meant the shame train.
The shame train is the other one that we're going to be looking at next year, which is everyone's got a pile of shame. If you don't have a pile of shame, you're lying.
Correct. And everyone has a pile of shame that is only growing. And I have endeavored to say that let's just get through these piles of shame. So we're going to smash through our Piles of Shame, each of us doing our own games, on like the easiest possible setting we can do. You know, like not games that we're playing at the moment and enjoying, but old games that have been sitting there for like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. That's like, we might just never get to experience this because we keep putting it off, going like, oh, that'll be a great experience. I'll do it one day. And it's like, no, just play it. Just experience it so we can just finally see what it is. You know, we obviously like it or we're looking forward to it, so we're just going to play it on the absolute most baby mode, gun through it as fast as we can to just experience and know what it is. If it's amazing, might play through again one day in a harder difficulty. But yeah, and then we'll talk about those experiences and just finally chip away at these things.
That's right. So that's the Shame Train and, of course, the Love Train, what we love from that week.
Oh, yeah. Good times. There will be more, but we will tell you about those next year.
All right. So you want to wrap this one out?
Yeah, okay. Look, guys, again, thank you, everyone, so much. If you do enjoy this, jump on iTunes and, you know, give us a review. That really helps us out. But you guys have been unreal this year. We couldn't have imagined that we would have been where we are right now at this podcast when we started back in March. It's been so fun. We've met a lot of you guys at the conventions and things and chatted to you guys on our Facebook, which if you guys want to jump on, it's just www.facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast. You've been awesome. Guys, have an incredible Christmas, a really good new year, and enjoy the break and try and jump into some of those incredible games that have been the games of 2017.
Yep, again, from me, yeah, have a great holiday season, new year. Enjoy yourselves, play some games. Let us know what you've been playing over the summer or winter, yes, depending on where you're listening to in the world.
Of course.
And, yeah, we'll be back next year. And over the summer, just briefly, I'm going to play through some of Carl's favorites, being Limbo, Inside, Journey. I might have a look at Hellblade and Bioshock Infinite as well.
Oh, if you didn't say Bioshock Infinite, I was going to say that should all take you maybe 12 hours.
I know.
Which is really cool.
What are you going to look at trying to do?
Me? Well, what am I going to look at trying to do? I haven't even thought this far ahead.
I know. I'm sorry. I just dropped this on you at the end.
You did? No, thank you. Thank you. Well, realistically, I was actually looking at Persona 5 and Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which were the main things I was kind of looking at over the break. But, oh, yeah. Also, I wanted to do all the Wolfensteins because I owe it to myself to know what the world is raving about.
I also think you should continue leveling a character in World of Warcraft and try and play through a Dark Souls game.
I hate the Dark Souls games, so I wouldn't do that to myself. And World of Warcraft, I guess I could try again. I didn't enjoy the start of that, but I will try. I wanted to love it. I downloaded it and bought it and started it, but I feel like I was just too late to that boat because after playing WildStar for a bit, because WildStar pretty much just copied everything of World of Warcraft, it just seemed like a cleaner, quirkier version of the same thing around a more modern sci-fi and like a character sort of design that I enjoyed more, and you know, so every time I'm playing World of Warcraft I'm like, ah, I'd rather be playing WildStar, which I know World of Warcraft people would kill me for, but yeah, I might try it again, but I just didn't enjoy it, which sucks. I want to. I think I'm too late. I think it's the same reason I can't play Final Fantasy VII.
You'd be able to play the remake when it releases.
Yeah, I can't wait because I just feel like I'm missing out on such a beautiful piece of Final Fantasy history and lore and story.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up.
Yes. All right, guys.
Yep, thank you very much. And this has been Game Train for 2017.
Boom.